As I said earlier, this is the first message in a series called The Spirit-Filled Life. And the aim of this message is this, and the aim of this series is this, to investigate who the Holy Spirit of God is. Because He is God. There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they're all God, and they're all one person. And so we want to investigate who He is. And as Christians, we want to investigate what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For ministry, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? For worship, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? In prayer, when you go before the Lord with your requests and your praises, your adoration for Him, what does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? This Sunday and next Sunday will be fairly similar. It's a big topic. I want to talk about, it's called a regeneration, which means that's a big word for saying made new. You are made new. You are remodeled. You are regenerated. I want to talk about the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, how He creates new hearts out of dead hearts. The Bible teaches before we know Jesus, our hearts are dead. And the Holy Spirit works to bring life in us. When Jesus left, He promised a helper, namely the Holy Spirit in John 14. That's a wonderful thing because His presence is dispensed throughout the world. He is able to intimately be with millions and millions and millions of people through the power of His Holy Spirit. So I want to investigate this a little bit, and this Sunday, next Sunday, talk about what does it look like for our hearts to be made new? What does it look like for us to be able to recognize Jesus Christ and what He's come to do? If you're following along with me, I'm starting in Luke 2, verse 22. I want to give a little bit of background here. Verse 22, the time came for their purification, so Mary and Jesus, Joseph, according to the law of Moses. They had brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This comes from Exodus 13:2. It says, every firstborn male is set apart to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the firstborn male of Mary. He is set apart to the Lord. He is God's Son. And it's interesting, back in Old Testament times, so if you go back to the first five books of the Bible, where God's law is found, along with 600-some commandments, the firstborn male of that culture was set apart to the Lord, and parents could buy them back so they would have ownership of. But Jesus is the firstborn male set apart to the Lord to do His will. Continue reading with me, verse 24. Also to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This comes from Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. So again, first five books of the Bible. Two doves or pigeons offered for Mary's purification. So after childbirth, after the gore and the mess of all that, there is purification needed in order for cleanliness. So two doves or two pigeons are offered. And the ideal sacrifice was a lamb, but you know what? They were a poor family, so the law set apart saying if you're our poor family, you can't afford a lamb, two pigeons or doves is offered. And this is so interesting because Jesus is 100% man. Yes, He was born a baby. He grew up to be a man, like we are, a human being, but He's also 100% God. And it's so interesting to me that He subjected Himself to the law of God. The law of God was meant for sinners like you and I, but He was born under it to redeem you and to redeem me. And so in enters Simeon here in verse 25. This is really one of the few, if not the only place Simeon's mentioned. We don't know a ton about him. But just know that he is an Old Testament Jewish believer waiting for the Messiah, waiting for Jesus. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And this is so crazy to me. And I want to explain this a little bit. I want you to get this here. So Simeon is a Jewish man, a Jewish believer in God, well-versed in God's law. As you say, he presents Jesus in the temple. See, he was well-versed in these first five books of the Bible where we have these hundreds and hundreds of commandments. That was Israel's connection with God. Without going into too much detail about it, these commandments, these sacrifices, animal sacrifices, going to the temple, that was their connection with God. They killed animals so that their sins could be atoned for. Atone means made right, made good. Sins are remembered no more. And it blows me away because the Holy Spirit comes to Simeon and he is able to see that Jesus Christ is salvation and connection with God, and that it is not the law. See, he had this connection with God through the law, these first five books of the Bible, all these commandments, and yet he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the comfort of Israel. He's waiting. And while many people did not understand what was going on, he, filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to see it. That he was able to go from this and recognize, it's like, oh, I still need a salvation. I need Jesus. I need the Messiah. I need him so much. That's amazing to me. So while the Pharisees and many of the Jews in the Gospels, they insisted that they go by these commandments, and they insisted, it's like, no, we go to this for our connection with God. We add this to Jesus. Simeon's able, by the Holy power of the Holy Spirit, to see, like, our consolation has come. Our revelation has come. The light has come. And the Holy Spirit shows him this. You don't have to turn there with me, but going to Galatians chapter 4 here. If I can ever find it, there we go. 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. What an amazing work that has been done. So after Christmas, right, we celebrate Jesus coming as a man, as a boy. And he comes, and later, this is a breath after, he's presented the temple because the law of the Lord is good. His law is good, but we are unable. He was very able. So he is subjected under to it. He's presented in the temple. Okay. So what I want to get across this morning is this, that we recognize Jesus Christ as our salvation and Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are unable to see Jesus as he truly is without the help of the Holy Spirit. There are multiple verses in the Bible that point to this. John chapter 3, verse 3, unless one of his is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus later in this text talks about being born of the Spirit. Romans 8, 9, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And then 1 Corinthians 12, 3, Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. See, on our own efforts, when we try to understand who Jesus is in our own power, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we come up with some weird things. If you look in culture, many people say, oh, he's just a good man, he was just an example. Or some people might say, like, oh, that's all good and fine that Jesus did the sacrifice, but we also do these works to contribute. See, when I was in high school and early college, this rings very true for my testimony. When I was in high school and early years of college, here's what I did. I truly thought that I could seek Jesus on my own power. I truly felt that I could understand him by my own power. I truly felt that I could live up to his standard by my own power. And as year after year went on, I felt myself falling farther and farther and farther away. And it wasn't until I gave all that up and I trusted in the Holy Spirit alone to see what Jesus had done. Trusted in him alone. I gave up my efforts to see him through my own power. I gave up me trying to craft Jesus. I had a pastor in Oklahoma City say there are those that create a Franken-Jesus, a Jesus in their own image. So you had a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and then you just got quite the Franken-Jesus, as he said. But no, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we see him as he truly is. So like Simeon, like this Old Testament prophet that sees Jesus for who he is, he sees two things. Jesus Christ is the Lord's anointed, and Jesus Christ is the Lord's salvation that has been prepared for all the people. So Jesus Christ is the Lord's anointed. I get that from verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So that's what I want to focus it on here, the Lord's Christ. Christ in the Greek is Christos, which is anointed one. In Hebrew, it's Messiah, one who is anointed. And if I mispronounced either one of those, I am sorry. I didn't look up the pronunciations. Anointed one, one who is anointed. So spirit-filled believers in Jesus are able to see and believe that Jesus alone is the anointed one. Jesus alone is the anointed one. And so what do I mean by anointed? I mean that he was given a very specific purpose from God, and that he was empowered to do this very specific purpose. And what is that purpose? We celebrated it at Christmas, the incarnation. He dwells among us. He takes on our flesh. He is born under the law, as Galatians 4 tells us, to set free those who are under law, me and you, that cannot live up to it. He lives a perfect life. He drives out demons. He heals the sick. He preaches the good news of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, rule of Jesus Christ. He dies on a cross. He is buried. And he is resurrected. That's his specific purpose. So now he ascends to, or goes up to God the Father, and is now interceding and saving those who are lost. He is anointed to seek and save those who are lost. And he is anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 alludes to that, and if you just turn a couple pages forward, you don't have to, but Luke 4:18 through 19, which is quoting the book of Isaiah. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news to the poor. Earlier, before this church service began, Joanne had come forward to me and said, there's a gentleman calling the church phone. Could you talk to him? He's asking for whoever would be the pastor of the church. And I spoke with him. He was a man from Sioux Falls, had connection to the area, a poor man of need of food. Jesus Christ brings good news to the poor. He proclaims good news to the poor. Not only food and shelter, but that there is a resurrected Savior that can be believed in for salvation and eternal life can be inherited. Jesus Christ is anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. Those who are imprisoned by their sin, those who are imprisoned in the darkness that the evil one has unleashed into our world, they are captives, they are imprisoned, and they are set free. He proclaims liberty to the captives, recovering a sight to the blind, set at liberty to those oppressed. Because in Christ we're free, we're not oppressed, we are set free. Set free from sin, set free from trying to measure up to someone we love so much, namely God. And he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, Jesus Christ. That's the year of the Lord's favor when he comes. God's favor has been shown to us through Jesus Christ. So I want you to see Spirit-filled believers see that Jesus is the only way, he's the only truth, he's the only life. And they love him for this. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, you see that he's the only way. You see that there is none other than him. You see that there is none other salvation. And you love him for this. I love him for this. And it's not my own love, but it's through the Spirit that works through us. Point number two, Jesus Christ is the Lord's salvation that has been prepared for all the people. All the people. I want you to look in Luke 29 or 32 or follow along with me, whatever works best for you. This is what Simeon says by the power of the Holy Spirit when Jesus is presented in the temple. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. And so, Gentiles very simply means those who are not Jewish, those who are not of that lineage. There is good news for the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish, and there is good news for the Jewish people as well, for the glory of the people Israel. Jesus is good news for all the people. You can go way back to the beginning of the Bible to Abraham. God promises Abraham that he will make a great nation from him. Through Jesus, promises to Israel are realized. God is faithful to Israel through Jesus, the nation that he loved. If you read in the Old Testament, that was God's chosen nation. He shows favor to them, and there's glory. And light of revelation to the Gentiles, you and me outside of Israel, God's chosen nation, there's hope for us too. He's the light of revelation for us here. And Spirit-filled believers see that Jesus Christ alone is salvation. Right standing with God. Salvation from our sins. Spirit-filled believers, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are able to see the realities that the flesh does not recognize. Because I can assure you, if you go out in the world, there are many that don't see the reality of sin. If you ask people what that is or why that's a problem, you might get a lot of different answers. And honestly, that's a reality that in my human flesh, I cannot describe to you how dangerous it is. The reality of eternal separation from God, hell, Satan and his angels, I can't describe to you how horrific and how terrible, how terrifying and how fearful that is. I can't begin to describe how big of a problem there is apart from Jesus Christ. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see how big of a problem our sin is. How we are transgressors against God's law. No, that's a huge problem. And Spirit-filled believers are able to see that a holy God has sent a perfect salvation, Jesus Christ. And that's another thing I can't convey to you by my own flesh, just how great a salvation Jesus Christ is. Seeing our world, we can think of ourselves perhaps in a burning building. I remember, I don't know if it was 2016, there was a building that had collapsed in downtown Sioux Falls. I don't know if that was 2016 or 17, but that was December, early December. I remember I was in Oklahoma and I heard about this building collapsing, and there were paramedics, there were firefighters rushing to the scene to save people. This was a life and death situation. It's cold outside, there's rubble on top of people. people that day understood what it was meant to be saved from destruction. People that day knew that they were in utter danger if trapped inside that building. Likewise, those apart from Jesus Christ are in immense danger and destruction, and it's a reality that they need to be saved from. We see that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of all, we see the love that Jesus Christ has shown through his birth and his life and his death. And I'm so thankful that we're partaking of the table today, because it's a way that we experience his love and his grace. We taste freely of it. And I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, both myself and you experience the love of Jesus Christ and just how immense, how immeasurable it is. All these realities we see through the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does that leave us gathered today? I don't know what you're thinking or where you're coming from, but it kind of feels like a helpless situation. Are you saying we can't see any of this through the power of the Holy Spirit? Right? And perhaps those, some either here gathered or in your lives, a reaction might be, well, I want the Holy Spirit, but how do I get it? And I want to talk more about that next week. But I do want to leave you with this. The Holy Spirit of God proceeds from Jesus Christ. We can look to him and call upon his name. Ask for the wind of the Spirit to blow on us. Can't make it blow on us. We can't do all kinds of good works to make it blow on us. But ask the one who the Spirit comes from. See, Jesus says in John, this is my Spirit I give you. Ask him to give him us his Spirit. For the Christian in the room, and perhaps for the Christian who has felt dry in their faith, that's something I hear a lot. I feel like I'm in a dry season. I feel like I'm in a drought. I feel like he's not there. I feel like I'm not hearing from him. Know that you can look to Jesus Christ for the Spirit. And also know and be encouraged, even if you feel like you are in that spot, if you came here today and you were able to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and the only salvation, and you see the reality of sin, I would probably argue that the Holy Spirit's already working in you, even though you might not feel it. So if that's you today, feeling dry, I encourage you with that. And I invite you to look upon Jesus for the Spirit. And for non-Christians in the room, whether you be in the room, whether you be listening, or whether it's someone in your guys' lives that you'll come in contact with, look upon the Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, the one who is able to give you that Spirit to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Look upon that Savior. Call upon his name. He is able to set the captive free and the prisoner free. He is able to set you at liberty. He is able to make us free. Amen.